Well, happy Monday, everybody. For those of you that at least are in the Western Hemisphere, for those of you that are on the other side of the world, I guess I could tell you happy Tuesday. Well, you know, I wanted to visit with you about something that actually has occurred to me on several occasions, so it was fresh in my mind. And this has more of a slant for church folks, I guess, pastors primarily, but Sundays are a challenge for pastors. You get yourself up to be able to help, you know, with worship and pray, and you're intentional about the fact that you're hoping that lives can be reached and people can feel good about the fact that they're part of God's family. And so you get through this whole process and you're all done and you're visiting with people, and somebody comes up and corners you and verbally beats you up darn near to death. Some of you maybe can associate with that or identify with it. And not only are you verbally lashed, but attacked, personally, your integrity, your intelligence, folks that do these types of things. I call them hit and run snipers. They come up and blast you, and then they haul themselves off and they won't let you respond, and they demand, and they just, a lot of times I think these folks have mental health problems, but sometimes they bring a confederate or a spouse along for their support. And a lot of times they'll do it in front of other people. So as a pastor, then you have challenges in the fact that not only you damage, but those that are around you that witness this potentially can be injured emotionally. And I generally find that it takes me about 24 to 48 hours after someone does that to me before spiritually and from a self-worth standpoint, you can kind of recover from that. And all the while you're praying for this person, you're hoping that they can be redeemed. So how do you deal with that? Well, first of all, I go back to my law enforcement experience. When somebody's very, very angry, it's best not to try to challenge them or even try to argue their point, because they've usually built themselves up to this point and it's just kind of exploded. So I do have a rule that says you can talk to me, but you are not going to talk at me. In other words, you're not going to be violently rude or personally attacking. And so it's okay to stop or even walk away if they're not willing to be somewhat civil with you. Secondly, let them talk out. And of course, your voice, it's best that when somebody's doing that to you and if they're demanding a response, to be thoughtful. Take your time, some long breaths, and to speak softly. The louder they get, the softer you can speak. A lot of times, once they figure out they're not going to get a rise out of you, then maybe they might kind of back down a little bit. The other challenge for you then, of course, is to hopefully be in a position where you can respond if you think it's possible. If not, if they're very angry, sometimes it's best just to say, I think I appreciate your input and thank you for sharing, and then walk away. If you have others that were there, I usually try to make sure that they're okay. In some cases, I've had to spend some time with them because maybe they've never witnessed something like this. And it's a bit of a shock to them. And so as a pastor then, or as a leader of the church, you do have some obligation to help those others. And at some point then, you need to be with your leadership and discuss with them the incident that took place and how they would best want to respond. Because the honest truth is that this individual probably has been sharing this concern with others. So there may be others out there that are not reading the situation as appropriately as it can. It's a difficult thing for someone who cares about people to have someone come up and verbally attack you. Normally, you'll find that with this type of activity in a setting, in a workplace or setting, that there may be anonymous notes and emails and third-party triangulation going on. And normally you'll know if it's kind of one person driven, because if the messages are the same, if the points of contention are about the same, you can kind of generally know that there's a ringleader behind this who's pushing other people to try to do this stuff. And it is toxic, and you need to put a stop to it. You need to get it resolved. Normally, I do have a rule, though, that says that once a person has confronted me like that, that I will not meet with them alone. If they're a woman, first of all, and you're male, or the other way around, you want somebody around anyway. But in this particular case, if either one, have male or female, has done this to you, you don't want to meet with them alone anymore, because obviously you know they have an agenda and they are determined to undermine your authority, and they are determined to probably try to get rid of you if they haven't already started that process. And so be aware that those things are going on. You need to take the steps that are necessary to see to it that you have yourself insulated and that people have been communicated with, that you have talked to your leadership or your supervisory groups or whatever it would be, whatever situation that you're in, to be prepared to address those things. The other thing that you need to consider is if the environment, if the place you're in, it's the church or organization, whatever it might be, is toxic enough, has a history of toxicity, that you've been through this enough times that it takes a toll on your emotional and physical health, you may have to stop and ask yourself whether or not this is a situation that you want to continue. Is this a group that you think you can still benefit? Is this an organization that you think that is healthy enough that you can see benefit? It's not certainly any shame in the fact of understanding that perhaps you've done what you can, and that for the well-being of yourself and your family and friends, that maybe it's best for you to dust off your shoes and move on. And that's always kind of hard, but I think the reality is that if situations are bad enough, there may be no redemption for that organization. And if that's the case, then if you reach that point, it may be best to bring in an outside consulting firm to help with mediation or evaluation of the history of the church or the organization, whatever necessary to give them a fair and honest assessment. Sometimes if you're there, they don't see you as someone qualified to do that. And there's a real good chance, to be real honest with you, that even if you do bring in someone from the outside, that they may not still accept it. They'll see it tainted or somehow figure out that you might have been involved. And so I think you do the best you can, but I also think that it's wise for you to pre-plan. Know that if you're making changes, if you're challenging the status quo, that you're going to have people who get very angry. And from a church standpoint, I'll get a little bit religious here with respect to the fact that if the devil is wedged himself into the organization through individuals who may be angry or mentally ill or sick and are taken advantage of by the devil and used to drive a wedge into the church, into the spiritual health of the church, then you need to be prepared for the fact that you're going to get challenged. And so be ready. Know how to deal with these. If you've never done it before, you might actually have a spouse or significant other or someone practice with you so you can learn de-escalation techniques, but also how you respond or sometimes not respond. At some point down the road, I'll go into a little more detail, especially how this works if you're facilitating a meeting where it gets out of hand and you need to either try to rein it in and manage it or maybe just stop it and walk away. So to recap, if you're in a leadership position at some point or another, if it hasn't already happened, you're going to be confronted. I use the word violence because it may not be physical, but the level of anger and hatred and sometimes even evil that comes through in this person is certainly enough to it can hurt you. And expect the fact that even if you manage it well, that the encounter will leave you vulnerable. And so, especially if it's been done, say, after a Sunday worship where you're already somewhat vulnerable just because of spending time in the pulpit and the spiritual drain that it is on you emotionally and spiritually. So know that that's going to take place. Know that you have someone who you can go home and talk to, whether it's a spouse, significant other, another pastor or a friend. You need to have someone there who can talk to you through this. And then also, I guess the second point is, don't be afraid to ask for prayer. Pray yourself, but also you need to have those who are praying for you. Don't underestimate the power of prayer in these types of situations. Three, you need to make sure that you have some discussion with leadership as far as how this matter needs to be resolved. Four, you need to make sure that in the future, if you're going to meet with this person or they ask to speak to you, that it's facilitated, that you have at least a third person in there to be a witness and hopefully also be a calming factor. Do not allow them to bring the third person. If they do, you still have someone else there. And if it's really, really serious, then at some point you may just choose to tell them that you agree to disagree and that it's not worth continuing to visit or talk. And then the last point is, at some point, if you're encountering this somewhat regularly and it cannot be mitigated, or you're seeing it maybe as endemic to the nature of the organization, then it's perhaps time for you to seriously consider moving on. So that's the discussion today. It's not a fun topic, but I think it's one that sometimes is not discussed enough, and it's not shared. And so people find themselves in these roles, and oftentimes they feel isolated. And it's really easy to be torn down by these types of folks. And so if you find yourself in that situation, think about some of the suggestions I've made to you. And certainly, by all means, if I can ever be of help, you want to leave a message, we can certainly be willing to visit and talk as well. So I hope that your day continues to go well. I hope that your week continues to go well. And we'll meet back here again on next Monday. Take care.